It ended up being a wonderful thing for the world. But I don't know if we'd have lived in that moment, if we'd have called it holy. But this moment in Luke 7, there are so many things that can distract me this morning. Issues of hospitality, issues of labels. But what has come out of this scripture for me over the last couple of weeks is one very powerful feeling. And I have related to it personally on a very, very raw level. And I want to do my best from this table scene to show you that feeling today. Let's read. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair. She kissed them and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I have entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say amongst themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." When I came to this scripture, I probably saw it for the first time about a month ago, in the sense of I knew that it was going to be a part of this series that I was going to do about the table. This is a lesson that any preacher in the world can preach. In the country terms, this will lather. You can chuck this. There's so much here to see and to glean from this passage. But I'm not going to give it to you this morning, because I want you to focus in on one thing and one thing only. This idea came to me when I heard a song playing in a TV show that I'd heard a long time ago. It was first released in 2012 by an artist named Aaron Wright. The lyrics go as follows. "I've seen all I care to see. Of this world it has no more for me. I need the call for giving peace that only comes from my family. I want to go home. I want to go home. I'm following the lead of the setting sun. I'm coming back from where I came from. Like an old oak tree that no longer grows, as time went by, it got hollow. If you don't know when to stay, if you don't know when to go, then you might be building your own gallows. I want to go home. I want to go home. I'm following the lead of the setting sun. I'm going back where I came from." When I first read that, I began to get the idea of home and how home, it must be one of those intense feelings that this woman feels, as she is at a stranger's home, at a stranger's feet, anointing him with oil, wiping his feet with her tears and her own hair. You may say, home, that being that I don't know. I don't know if I can get home from that. We just sang a song, Amazing Grace. And the words for that song were written in 1772. And the third verse is maybe not a verse we sing often, but I don't know if you heard it, but this is what it said. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. And grace will lead us home. William J. Kilpatrick, a man who lived from 1838 to 1921, wrote a hymn that I know that we are all familiar with. It's a hymn that we would call an older hymn, but it's a hymn that we have all heard sang so many times at a very crucial moment in a worship service. And he wrote this song. He was writing it after he had been to a revival, and he had watched this a soloist come and play an instrument at this revival and then leave when it came time for the preaching. And after this happened a couple of nights, he couldn't take it anymore. He felt like this young man needed to hear a message, so he wrote it. He penned it in song. And that next night had the soloist play these words. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The path of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thy arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. I've wasted my precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thy arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. Maybe that gives you a better image. But yet still. Another song that we sing so often, penned at sometime around 1847 to 1909. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised. Promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and pardon for me. Come home. Come home, ye who are weary. Come home. Earnestly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. One more. This one will take this moment and cast it a little bit into the future. But it no less is a song that gets a feeling that is real that we've all felt before. Jesse Pounds in 1906, she writes, I must need go home by way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall never get the sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go, the way of the cross leads home. I see this vision of this moment in Luke 7. And I think about the older we get, how there is a lesser need for us to go home that far. Sometimes it's out of maturity. Sometimes it's out of callousness. As life moves us forward in age, hopefully in maturity, spiritually also, we also have a circle around the younger people that are part of our fold. They need to know what it means to be family. They need to know what it is to be protected. And they also need to sometimes venture out away from us, not too far, but to learn on their own, to grow on their own, but to always know that they have a family that they can come back to. But there are times in every Christian's walk when we come back to family, we have to go straight to the head. I bet you felt it. I bet you've questioned it. If you had, I don't have an alabaster box. I don't have any perfume. But I bet you felt that moment where you didn't need anything. You had all you needed, as long as you could just get to his feet. I don't know what that would look like today. I've tried to envision that too. What would I do if I were here and Jesus' feet were here today? I like to think that every time I've sought his feet, they've been there. Because in my heart and in my life, they have been. In that powerful moment of home where I was accepted, I was forgiven. And no matter what the people around thought, the head looked at me and he told me, "You're clean. Welcome home." Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we are so grateful for your Son. And we are so sorry that we've had to fall at his feet so many times in our life and just say, we're empty, we're lost, and we're wrong. But Lord, that powerful feeling that we get at that moment that you have given us, the moment, Father, of being forgiven and redeemed, and your outstretched hand that is so full of mercy, we can never thank you for. May our lives make you proud, Father, in the moments where we don't let you down, the moments where we are strong and we let your light shine, and we shine that light so bright that the world can see that there is a home for the soul, and there's a home for them that not only do they fit, Father, but they belong. This is our prayer in your Son's name. Amen.
This was going to be closing song. Oh. And it was going to be on the end of the podcast. But now, not now. And the last verse of Luke 7, and he said to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a world wind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Have a great week.
Good morning, church family. We're glad to meet with you today, even though it's by Facebook or broadcast. But we just want to let you know that we are glad to be here. We're glad to be a part of service, and we're glad to have you come along and worship with us. We want you to know that we've been thinking about you. We hope you are all doing well. We've been praying for you, and we love you. Be with us this morning as we go into our worship service. Let us pray. Father God, we're so thankful for this day and for the many blessings that you've given us. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together here upon the first day of the week to learn more about your word and to study and sing songs to you. Father, we just ask that you continue to be with us and you continue to bless us, Father. Father, we just ask that this morning that you continue to be with all those who are sick with this virus. Father, things that seemingly have shut down the world. But Father, we know that you are the great physician. You are the mighty healer. And Father, you are the person that can control this. And Father, relieve us of this part. Father, we just ask that you continue to be with this. Father, we ask that you be with those first responders, Father, those doctors, the nurses, the scientists. Father, we ask that you continue to be with them during this time. Father, as they administer here upon earth the things that will help these people to become healthy. And Father, where someday we can soon be back to our normal walks in life. Father, we're so thankful for our church that meets here at Etheridge. Father, we just ask that you continue to be with them. Father, we ask that you keep them well. And Father, we look forward to the day, hopefully in the near future, Father, that we can all assemble here together as one group, Father, and you with us, Father, that we may worship you and glorify your name. Father, we just ask that you continue to be with us on throughout our lives. Father, help us that we may be that light. We may be that example. That, Father, that people can see that you live in us and we may do good things to spread throughout the world. Father, we know in times we fail you. Father, for those things that we are sorry. And Father, we just ask that you forgive us of these things. Father, continue to be with us on through this service and on throughout our life. And Father, someday give us that home with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The reading this morning will be from Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. I am so happy, and I thank the Lord that you have again shown care for me. You continue to take care of me, but there was no way for you to show it. I am telling you this not because I need something. I have learned to be satisfied with what I have and with whatever happens. I know how to live when I am poor and when I have plenty. I have learned the secret of how to live in any kind of situation, when I have enough to eat or when I am hungry, or when I have everything I need or when I have nothing. Christ is the one who gives me strength I need to do whatever I must do.
Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me, joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise, headed for that jubilee yonder in the skies. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, alleluia, when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. When with all that heavenly host we begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be, praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. Oh, what singing, Oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, alleluia, when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus surround the throne, and thus surround the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. For the Lord's Supper this morning, victory in Jesus. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Person that you desired to see, that you had a longing to be with. Recently, this last year, I got to experience that. I've never been far away from my family for a period of time where I couldn't just drive a set distance and be with them. And this last year, I experienced that. With my brother going off to the military, he was in Texas for training, and I couldn't see him. Most of the time, we couldn't even call him. We because he didn't have a phone. And time and distance create a longing to be with somebody or to be with something. And when you finally get to be with that person or you finally get that thing, isn't it an awesome feeling? Isn't it a feeling of emotion, of happiness, of tears, of joy, just being able to reunite with that person? And being reunited with my brother was nothing short of that. And so it got me thinking about celebration. This last week we got to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And it just made me think how a different aspect of how we should take the Lord's Supper. You know, what is the Lord's Supper? What are we doing here? We are remembering, but aren't we also celebrating? Let's look why we're celebrating. If you have your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 28, and I will start in verse 5. Matthew 28, verse 5. But the angel said to the woman, to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen." And he said, "Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This was an emotional event because Mary didn't think that she would ever see Jesus again. And then when she goes to his tomb and he's not there, she almost panics, and the guards tell her she's not, the angels that are in Jesus' tomb tell her that he's not there anymore. And so as they go walking down the road, Jesus appears to them and they are reunited. And they celebrate. They celebrate there, and then they run back and tell Jesus' disciples that he is risen. And man, isn't that something we all should be able to celebrate? Isn't that something that we can rejoice of and be happy for, that we have the chance to be reunited with Jesus? Isn't it something to celebrate that Jesus defeated victory? He conquered the very thing that we fear the most. Isn't it something to celebrate when we think of Jesus and his life and his decisions that he made? So this morning, let's celebrate together. Hopefully you celebrated this last week that Jesus has risen. But let's celebrate. Let's continue to celebrate while we take this meal and remember his life. Let's pray. Father God, we are so, so thankful for the day and the beauty of it. Father God, we want to praise your name. We want to give you the glory, God. And we want to celebrate the reuniting of Jesus and his disciples and his followers after he rose from the grave, God. And we want to celebrate the chance that we have to be reunited with him, God. That he overcame death, that he defeated it, that he was victorious over it. God, as we take this meal, we remember the pain that he had to endure. We remember the life that he lived. But God, this morning, help us to celebrate like we would if we've been longing to see someone or longing to have something. Let us celebrate because this is something worth celebrating. And God, this morning as we take this bread, let us remember his body that he used to conquer death. It's in his name we pray. Amen. And likewise, God, we have this cup in our hand of juice, and that it represents Jesus' blood. And I can't help to think about the passion that pulsed through his veins, that pulsed through his heart, that he was brave enough to follow his spirit, that he was brave enough to follow the things that he desired to do. God, he saw the big picture. God, the blood that pumped through his veins, the blood that flowed through his body and helped him be able to do the things that he did. God, we want to celebrate that today. That sacrifice that he made to give that blood, help us to celebrate it as we take it in a memorable way, Father. We pray all these things in his name. Amen. Now that we've concluded the Lord's Supper, we take this time like we normally do every week. And I want to ask you a question. And I want you to think about this, or tell those that are sitting around you. How has God blessed you this week? What has occurred this week that you've seen God in your life? Where has God been a blessing to you this week? And it could be something with your job. But more than likely, it's with family or with friends or with somebody that you go to church with or somebody maybe you haven't talked to in a while, and you've taken the time that has been given to you this week to talk to that person, to call that person and ask how they're doing. God's blessings are all around us. And I would be the first to say that I'm not the best at always stopping and seeing those blessings, to smell the roses, if you would. And so this week, as we take this time and we thank God for the blessings and we give back some of the things that he has blessed us with so that we can be a blessing to others, I want you to think about that. I want you to decide, this next week I'm going to see God's blessings in my life. And if you would like to contribute to the blessings of the church here at Etheridge, again, you can do that by coming by the building or mailing it in to our P.O. Box, P.O. Box 8. At Etheridge. Let's pray together and thank God for our blessings. Dear God, again, we just want to thank you. We want to praise your name because your name is the only one worth praising. Your name is the only one worth giving the credit for the things that we have, the people that we have in our lives, the relationships that we have in our lives. God, thank you for those things. And God, we just ask that however you have blessed us, that we will take that blessing and that we will pass it on, that we will bless someone else with our time, with our words, with our talents. God, however you see fit, God, help us to have hearts of servants and to be able to give back to those that we see there is a need for. We thank you. We thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.